Season 4, episode 29 of the Decoded Season 4, season 4, episode 29 of the Decoded podcast.
What I loved is I did not even know what words you were going to say. I was like, he's totally freestyling here. This is awesome.
My brain was like, don't do it. Don't say it. I was able to say season 4, episode 29, so that's good.
Yep.
It's going to be another short one because life's speaking to us. But Chris, I want to start off. I think our on-ramp, it got me going. But before that, there were the messages you and I were sending back and forth to each other this week about what was lighting us up. And I have to quote you. I have to quote what you said to me in a Twitter DM. So
here it comes.
You and I were talking about some stuff that we were seeing on social media. And you sent me this quote: any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. And you credited Arthur C. Clarke for saying that.
He's and got then, the three, he does this thing, three laws about technology. So that's one of them.
I definitely have to check him out because I'm not familiar. So I'm writing this down.
He's science fiction, speculative fiction dude.
Arthur C. Clarke. And what did you say? Three things about tech?
Look for the three laws. Three rules and attribute it to him and you'll find it.
Gotcha. Thanks. So then you said, too many teachers think that the things that they don't understand are magic. And you lit me up. You lit me up because I'm gonna boast here a little bit about myself. I feel like a little bit of a humble brag here about me.
Our podcast, our rules,
which is rare.
Are you comfortable with me declaring that? Our podcast, our rules.
Do I often humble brag? I don't think I do, but maybe I do.
No.
I don't know. Anyway, but it's my podcast. You like that? You like how I took it away from you? But anyway, podcast, our rules. I know you don't care. It's all good. And if you did, you'll just push back on me later. It's okay.
Yep.
Here we go. I have been the magician and I have looked behind the curtain. I've done both. Now, when I say I've been the magician, I've not purposely tried to fool people or trick people with the use of technology. What I've done over the years is done some really cool things with technology. But to be able to do those cool things, I had to take the time. I had to put in the work, number one. So here's what the work is. The work is the time to find people around me who understand it better than I do, who could explain it to me. Mm-hmm. The work is to find examples of it and then to learn the process of doing it so that then I could mimic it. And then from the imitation comes the innovation and then the publication. People see it. People think, this is really cool. How do you do it? I can't believe you can do this. You can do anything you want to do. You have to put in the work, which means time and effort. And sometimes the time and effort isn't worth what you want. And I've seen that too. What kills me, what really burns me up, is when I see something and everybody's oohing and aahing, and then I approach the magician and I say, I'd like to learn more. They don't want to tell me more. They want it to remain as magic. They want to be seen as someone who can do these fantastic things and help students learn and achieve. But they don't necessarily want an apprentice. They don't want to give away their secrets, the tricks of their trade, if you will. And I've experienced that enough, and I've experienced a ton more magicians who say, yeah, come on in. Open the door to my shack out back and you can see how I've done it. And the answer is always putting in the work, the time, and the effort to learn something, to understand it in a way where you can then start to manipulate it to make it work for you. That's all it is. So why? Now, that's the one cool thing about me, I don't know, in the last years, that if I see something really cool now, I will acknowledge that looks awesome. And instead of saying, I wonder how you did it. I can't believe you did it. I can still appreciate what's been done. And in my little brain, I can understand that I could do it too if I gave it the time and the energy that it requires to make it happen. And even sometimes people will say to me, whoa, that's awesome. I could never do that in a million years. I'm like, you're right. It wouldn't take a million years. It'd take about a day. You just need some time. You need to literally go through this process. Imitate if you have to. Mimic exactly. It's like any recipe. Well, you know this. You're a chef. You have a recipe.
Yes, I am.
You've got the papers and everything. You got the receipts to prove it.
I got the receipts, bro.
But you get a recipe and you make it. You make it once, you make it twice, you make it three times. And then all of a sudden, you know, somebody in your family says, Dad, I don't like the way this tastes or that. So you manipulate, you augment, or you remove, you do things to it to make it yours. And then the more you do it, the easier it becomes. And then the easier it becomes, the more it starts to look like magic to other people. But you put in the time and the work, the energy to get it to happen. And you and I lately have been seeing a lot of this on Twitter. We've been seeing these. I guess what kills me is that you see something and then you see a horde of people who are all over it and wondering how it can be done.
Well, that was the whole, to demystify this. This is, I think, I'll pull it out of the abstract.
Am I mystifying it? Is this part of my magic?
You are, wizard. Let's call this like the sketchnoting. The sketchnoting is something that people are really kind of fascinated by, and that's fine. I think sketchnoting is, I think it's fine. But to sort of attribute anything, I guess part of what kind of like it freaks me when we have these discussions about something like sketchnoting is that it reminds me of how sometimes unintentionally blocked our discussions around education are. And I'm not about to say that everybody should be able to be a fantastic sketchnoter. I'm not going there. I get it. Like everyone can do a piece of it. And there's a funny thing that kind of like the canon of literature, there's a canon of people still that teachers think have kind of like a stranglehold on some of the magic in EDU. And sketchnoting is kind of one of them. I think that it's become in some spaces, people are comfortable with saying, I can't do art. I'm not an artist. And so, you know, they don't want to be in a position of having to demonstrate their art. It's like the new math scapegoat. I'm not good at math. I'm not good at art. And so sometimes when I read people talking about individuals that have done PD in any particular space, and what they don't do is attribute their own learning as being around that individual, then the congratulations feels a little bit hollow to me. So I'll go a different route. If I offered up free opportunity to use my podcast platform, and some individuals put together an episode, and then if I didn't do, so here's how I'm thinking from the inside. I'm trying to lift this up from the right piece of the ice flow here, so it doesn't all just sort of crack apart in my hands. If that person leaves my podcast session and doesn't first and foremost celebrate their own learning in a public space and share the podcast that they've done, and instead tells me what an amazing teacher I am, what an amazing course it was, but the individual isn't willing to show the stuff that they created. I would think that I've, in, you know, a small scale F, I failed in some way. Like, if the best thing that comes out of my course is that people are willing to hashtag thanks Clough, like, I don't think that's not an accountability chain that I dig. Does that make sense? So the magic part of it is that if the individual has to keep coming back to me to be reloaded, recharged, or motivated to do their own learning, and I'll say in this particular, let's say an adult model where they have the tools, they keep coming back to me, then I don't know if I've done a good job of kind of bumping them out of the nest and saying, get out there and just start putting it out there. Like, get out there and start producing, get out there and create in public, get out there and create a portfolio. Like, that's really what I sort of, I love seeing when that happens, when individuals are feeling they're brave enough to go into that space. But I don't know. You know, it's, I don't even know, what question did I even answer? I didn't answer any question. There was no question there. I just went, I riffed.
Magic.
Yeah, so I don't need, you know, there's a fine line, I think, between apprentices and minions. And if they're not willing to kind of go out and kind of do it themselves, to do something themselves, then I do think to myself, well, did I do such a great job of lighting them up to go take care of their own business? I would say no. I would say I probably haven't. I would say I probably haven't done as good of a job as I should, or should have.
Okay. Time's flying. I want to move on. I want to move out of this this wizardry that we're talking about and into other areas of magic. How's your PQP going?
It's sort of invisible. The timing is strange to me because one of the things that's made it very different. So the last one that I did it last July. So it was a month long and 6 weeks or something like it was an intensive, right? So this one coming around is longer. And so I'm starting to drop the ball on my timelines, like flat out. Like I'm just not tracking my deadlines right. And I, yeah, Clough, write it down. Don't be foolish. Write it down. So you got to do, right? Like, what do you, don't be foolish. Like that's all you really have to do, which I would agree. But there was something about the tight timelines that helped me to feel like I was more in the game than I do right now. So I'm not feeling like I'm as centered in this one as possible. Now, there's been also a few things that have been said that I thought to myself, yeah, like, no, I totally disagree with that. And we haven't had the space to get back to it fast enough. So that in a nutshell is how it's going. Am I enjoying it? Yes, because part of it is I feel like we're constantly trying to parse out, like, what the hell does it actually mean to be? I mean, when we say leadership, what does it mean to be like a principal right now? And I always love the individuals that are willing to take the chance on suggesting what it is, but they actually don't have any place at that table per se. Does that make sense? Like they're kind of pot shots at what leadership looks like right now. And I mean that in the most, I don't mean that in as I guess maybe derogatory as that sounds. I'm not suggesting that my colleagues don't know what they're talking about at all. What I'm saying is that unless you're kind of centered in the practice, like you're actually an administrator right now, all the imaginings of what it means to be in that chair are really just that. Like they really are just
imaginings.
Like, they're imaginings. Yeah, there's a whole lot of magic there. So that's where I'm kind of at with that. But I am still enjoying it. There's some individuals that I look forward to staying connected with them and being able to talk through things in the future as well, which is kind of cool. I like it when you start to see that type of connectivity happening, and you know these individuals are going to be people that are going to help feed your learning moving forward.
Is the course cracking open, or is it cracking out of the stereotypical PQP that you, Ramona, and myself have discussed? Are you guys and gals dealing with what is going on today in education and how that applies to what you're learning right now in the PQP? Has there been any connection, or are you still in the silo doing the typical PQP stuff?
I think we're probably still in the silo. But again, I don't know it because I think the curriculum that we're using is, sorry, let's say the course plan that we're using is probably similar to course plans that have come before us.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I think what's great is that there's individuals that are sort of pushing agendas and keeping us kind of accountable to keeping us accountable to what's going on in around us. I will say I don't much. Okay, so if you go into a leadership course and expect that the course is going to give you the magic to address the issues that you might be seeing in your school, I think you're probably not going to get that course. Like, that course doesn't actually exist. What I will say so far, and this is maybe a difference between my first PQP and this one, is that the voices that are talking to us about what's happening in education are diverse voices. So there is diversity there, which I found wasn't the case in my first PQP. Mm-hmm. I found that it was not, there were a lot of old white men that we were sort of learning from, and just in the resources that we used. I didn't feel like they were sort of diverse enough. I didn't feel like they were strategic enough in identifying or self-aware enough to identify that, yeah, we're about to learn something that old white dudes have sort of been saying for many years now. Like, it wasn't self-aware enough that it hadn't moved the needle. So.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that. I appreciate that last part about going into a course and not just looking for what the course is going to give you, but that finding what it is that you want on your own within the parameters of the course. I kind of like that idea.
Yeah. Bring in whatever, you know, the whole bringing yourself to the course and bringing your, as much of your whole self as you feel safe to do. I think that has happened with this.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's very good.
So
we've come to our time,
Clef. Jeepers.
How's the art? Will it be unfinished?
No, dude. Let me do two last touches on it, and we'll just.
I think it's crazy how life, like, just sneaks up on you, eh?
All right.
This new lockdown has also messed things up. Let's take a look. Is that the Easter rabbit holding its egg and not wanting to let go of it? Tell me about that.
It looks. Yep.
Okay.
Does that work?
That works. The Easter rabbit looks a little haggard.
Yeah.
That's not the same Easter rabbit that people are envisioning in their minds. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I know what you're saying. But that's what I started to think. When I started thinking about the magic, I'm like, well, maybe I got to do the magic of the season a little bit.
I like it. Thanks for sharing that.
My haggard rabbit. Oh, I just threw my paint.
On that note, I'm going to wish you a happy Easter.
Thanks, buddy. You too. You too. All the best. Whatever you end up doing today. I hope that, as they say, the bunny is good to you.
I think these days it's more important for the bunny to be good to the kids. But yeah. I get what you're saying. The bunny can be good to me in a different way, you know?
Yep, absolutely. That's why I'm going to the Nike store today, I think.
Oh, have fun at the Nike store.
Yeah. I need a new pair of running shoes. So I don't know. I don't know if I can actually get into the Nike store. I don't know if that's a possibility. But
I can't believe you just said Nike on air.
Uh-oh.
No. I mean, it's like I don't care, but I'm surprised that you didn't consider creating a brand, a decoded shoe brand.
Oh.
That'd be sick, eh?
Decoded shoes?
Decoded shoes.
Someday, dude. Gotcha. Someday. Someday we will have the time to action all of our brilliant marketable ideas. Though I did appreciate the tag you put on the one Insta post I put up that's from the Shack Out Back.
Yes, right away.
Yeah, my nature walk yesterday where I found all those very strange spaces. So
Chris is on it. This is the last thing I'm going to say, then I got to go. Chris is on a nature walk and he's going, it's funny when you, I term it as you going wild on your Instagram because it was just picture after picture of you out and about. And I'm like, he's out and about.
You called me out on this before. You're like, I don't get it, Clef. You don't write anything. You just put a picture up.
Oh, I've gotten over that, but I knew you were, I knew you were out on a trail somewhere, either with your family or whatever. So I'm like, Chris is out of control. And this one picture is what looked like abandoned vehicles in a field.
Yeah.
It reminded me of us talking about the decoded Shack Out Back.
Exactly.
Where we create our kombucha, or actually where we store it because Amy makes it, but we store it in the
shack. It's just a good temperature. It's a good temperature in the Shack Out Back.
And then my comment on his Instagram post was, oh, that's the those are the cars in the back of the Shack Out Back. So it was just some play on words that only Chris would understand, really.
Yep.
So anyway,
I did get it. I did get it. Hey, did anybody check out the pod today?
We had three people at one point. And this was episode 29 of the fourth season. We'll be back next week, I hope, if we get a break. See you, Chris.
Ciao, man.